You got a Bible this evening, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. I appreciate the good day the Lord has given us, and I'm grateful for it. I don't take that lightly. And I appreciate you being here tonight. It's summertime, families on vacation, your flock seems to scatter a lot through the summer. But I'm glad the great shepherd is here tonight. And I bless him that I can never go too far, that he's not a pulling on that chain. And I thank him for it. The book of Hebrews, the writer now, a lot of discrepancy about who wrote Hebrews. I personally think the Apostle Paul had his hand upon it through the writings. But whoever wrote it, we know who penned it down. It was the Holy Ghost. And it's not so much about the man, it's the one that's talking through the man. And so he's talking now to the Hebrew children. And they've been dispersed now out of Judah and Jerusalem. They're on a homeward journey. They're having a lot of difficulties. But they're all doing something that we have all in common. They're walking by faith and not by sight. And here in the parting chapter before chapter 13, the writer says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Now notice, there's not a period, there's a comma. It means that I'm not done talking yet. And this is what he says. He said, "Well, we're going to run this race with patience that's set before us." Now he said, here's your goal. And this is what you got to look at while you're running. If anybody's ever done any plowing at all or any grass cutting at all, I notice when I lay out my rows in the garden, if I don't pull a string and run that tiller by it, it gets real crooked. And that's why I just started planting patches of six. Can't keep my rows straight. But tonight I want to preach on how to keep your rows straight. He says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Thank you for standing tonight of honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, I love you tonight and I praise you. Would you take my mind from all of my issues and my circumstances? Would you help me to get my mind, Lord, and where it needs to be tonight? And I pray that you would fill me with the Holy Ghost. Pray you'd let me be a blessing to your people tonight. Thank you for these that are so faithful to return to your house. I pray that you'd give them a double portion tonight for their efforts. I pray that you let preaching be easy. Bring to the things to my mind that needs to be said. I pray you'd guard my lips with an angel of watch this evening. Help us now. Thank you for the good morning we had. Thank you for the good liberty that I had preaching. Thank you for the good service. We love you and praise you. Help us now. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. And amen. This evening I want to preach on how to keep your row straight. You'll notice this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You didn't start your faith. Jesus started it. You didn't find Jesus. He found you. And Jesus died for everybody. And I don't know about you, but I was minding my own business. I'm glad I got under a gospel preacher. I'm glad that God began to knock on my heart by the Holy Spirit. I'm glad He offered unto me life, life more abundantly. I sure am glad that I received Him. By the way, the Bible said that as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God. We're not robots. We must accept Christ by faith. And I sure am glad one day that faith came by me. Now, here the writers just finished chapter number 11. And there is the Hall of Fame chapter, all of those that are by faith. So, first of all, tonight, by way of outline, I'd like to say in Hebrews 12, verse number 1, there is a description for learning. A description for learning. Verse number 1, there is a witness to encourage us. He said, now we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, plural. Now, who is he talking about? Well, in Hebrews chapter number 11, there's the Hall of Fame chapter. It's heaven's most wanted. Boy, I'm telling you, ain't it been something to see the heroes of our faith walk through this world? He said we are compassed with great clouds of witnesses. Now, first of all, there is a witness to encourage us. We see in chapter number 11, verse 1, now faith is, not faith used to be, but faith is. I'm glad that faith is available tonight. And certainly faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you're shallow on faith, you need more teaching of the Word of God. And certainly we're human. We all need our faith to be built. We see, for by it the elders obtained a good report in verse number 2, talking about a witness to encourage us. Verse number 4, there's faith. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. We find that Abel, he was worshiping by the blood. I'm glad it's one way to God. That's by the blood of his son. It's still the blood. Thank God for the blood. You know, I'm glad that the baptismal pool don't get us there, but I sure am glad that the blood secures our journey home. And so by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice. He worshiped by the blood. Then verse number 5, by faith, Enoch. He was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, Abel worshiped by the blood, but Enoch walked by the book. Now, Enoch, he was not a cosmonaut. He wasn't an astronaut. He was a was not. God took him out of here. Aren't you glad one day we're going to be was nots? No use in driving your tent stakes down too deep here. This is all temporary. You say, well, preacher, I'm in heavy sorrow tonight. Don't worry. It's temporary. You say, preacher, it's a lot on my mind. It's a lot on my mind. But thank God it's only temporary. Amen. Our mind is not saved. It hits rewind way too often. Our mind, a lot of time, it discourages us and depresses us. But I'm glad one day, by the sweet grace of God, just as sure as a martin goes to her gourd, neighbor, the Lord is coming back and taking his children home. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I'm glad tonight that this is not my home. Hear me, children. Don't get discouraged here. We've got a hope before us. And I'm glad the Lord is coming back one day. And it will be soon, the way everything is pointing to His return. Boy, that gives me hope. It gives me a heart. As I read this morning in 1 John chapter number 3, the Bible said, if any man have this hope in himself, he purifieth himself even as he is pure. As I think about the Lord returning, I want to take care of the sin in my life. I want to take care of the doubts in my life. I want to forgive people as we go and walk. I ain't got to wait for somebody to ask me to forgive them. Somebody help me tonight. I've got to forgive them when they offend me and keep myself pure and go on for the good glory of God. Boy, I'm glad there's a better day. Did anybody tell you there's a better day coming? Has anybody told you lately there's a better day coming? It's something better than all this. It's something better than late night phone calls. Preacher, are we on the way to Scottish Rite? It's something a lot better when Rainwater calls and says we need you for a funeral. It's something a lot better than the calls we get. Great glory. There's call coming from above. I mean, he's going to shout. You say, preacher, are you sure you're going? Oh, I know I'm going. He said he'd pull up in the driveway and blow his horn. Thank God I'm going. Hey, has anybody told you I'm going to heaven today? I'm glad I'm going. Hallelujah. I'm glad this world ain't my home. I'm going to a city where the builder and maker's God. We'll go there. There'll be no more weeping. Amen. There'll be no more dark nights. Thank God there's no candle there. There is a street of gold. There's not rooms, neighbor. There is a mansion. Thank God. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. He said, if I go away, prepare a place for you. Guess what? I'm coming again. I'll receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Has anybody told you I'm going to heaven today? Boy, Enoch was or was not. He was just walking around. You know something? I don't want to know when I'm dying. I'm going to make a statement. I'm as saved as anybody in this house tonight. I'm as right with God tonight as I've ever been in my life, and I'm not like a rooster crowing on a top limb. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't want to walk in the doctor's office and he tell me I got 31 days to make it. I want him to come by and take me home by surprise. Amen. I mean, it's just like when companies come and knocked on your door and you open it up and there they are. Won't it be a blessing when we close our eyes to this world and open them up to His world? Can you imagine when we see Him? Could you imagine Enoch was walking with God? All of a sudden he closed his eyes to all of this place and opened it into God's world. Boy, he was a walking with God. He got so far out there with God. God said, listen, boy, it's closer to my house than it is to take you back home. So I'll just take you on home with me. Boy, I'm glad there's coming a better day for the child of God. We see that Abel, my friend, he worshiped by the blood. We find that Enoch, he walked by the book. But we find another character. Here is Noah. He worked on the boat. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear. You say, you ought to not scare my children. You better hope, pray the Holy Ghost comes by, sits down on your beach, and scares you right into the sweet grace of God. You say, well, you ought to not scare people. That's what our problem is. Nobody fears God no more. The Bible said Noah moved by faith. It had never rained. He said, but God, I'm taking you at your word. I'm going to do what you said do. And guess what? It happened just like what God said. By faith he moved and prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Is your house saved tonight? Boy, I'm telling you, Noah took the advice from God. And he got busy working on the boat. And then verse 8, we find by faith Abraham. And then we find in verse 20, by faith, Isaac. Verse 22, by faith, Joseph. Verse 23, by faith, Moses. You say, preacher, how did they all get in the hall of fame? All of them, one way, by faith. They were looking to the cross to come. They had heard the Old Testament prophets preaching about one to come. They took God for His word, and by faith they believed. You know how every child of God is going to get to heaven? By grace through faith. No other. Not by works of the law. No, no. It will everybody be there by grace through faith. Now we look back at a finished work. Let me tell you, when you see a cross and you see Jesus hanging on it, that's not the cross, neighbor. Jesus is not on the cross. He's on the right-hand side of the Father. Can I tell you, He got down off the cross. They put Him in the grave. Everybody laughed at him. The devil said, I got you now. But all of a sudden, on the third day, it was a trembling and a shaking. Amen. And Jesus got up out of the tomb. And my friend, he walked around on this world. And I mean, people's eyes got big. But he ascended into heaven. He's been on the right-hand side of God ever since. He sent the Holy Ghost to live in us and walk in us until He comes back for us. Thank God we are going home one morning. He said, now you are encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. There's two schools of theology on this statement in chapter number 12, verse 1. Can the saints of God see us? Well, I know this. The Bible says when one's saved, there's rejoicing in heaven amongst the angels of God. The angels ain't rejoicing. Somebody knows what's going on. Now, I don't know if they're looking in on me, but I can tell you one thing. It sure does help me to walk in my Christian walk to think some of the heroes of faith is looking down at me. Boy, I tell you, I just believe sometimes I get to look in on our church services, and when some of them saved, it rings all across the balconies of heaven. Another one got in. Another one got in. And they look over there hunting that one. Brother Allen's talking about between verses 4 and 5. And there he stands at the altar. There he is with the nail-scarred hands. There he is with the nail-scarred feet and the riven side. And they look at him and say, oh, because of you, another one got saved. And honey, let me tell you, one day there's going to be rejoicing for the last time in the presence of them angels. The last one's going to get saved, and we're going home by the good grace of God. And I don't care what anybody said, don't let this fool you. There'll be no empty chairs in heaven. God's setting a place for all of His children. Isn't that what He said? He said, I'm preparing a mansion for you. I wonder what that's going to be like. When we get a glorified body, won't that be a blessing? And let me tell you something. We're going to have a body like unto His body, but we all not going to look like Jesus. Well, we're going to keep our own image. We're going to know each other in heaven. Isn't that amazing on Mount Transfiguration there that Elijah and Moses appeared? Boy, there was Peter. He wanted to build a shrine to all of them. There's a voice spoke out of heaven. He said, "Not, this is my son who I'm well pleased." Can I tell you, we will keep our image, but we'll have earthly bodies. We'll be walking through Glory Land Boulevard and we'll know each other. Amen. And that's exactly, listen to me, that's exactly why I want to stay right with you. When I get there and meet you, Brother Tim, I don't want to duck my head. I don't want to dodge you. I want to say glory to God. I'm glad the Lord saved us by His amazing grace. I love the people I pastor and I thank God for you. I know I step on your toes, but a preacher ain't worth his salt and butter if he don't. You didn't hire, you ain't hired a politician. You just sitting under a preacher. God's hired me. You ain't hired me no how. If you hired me, that'd mean I was a hireling. Well, you don't like that, and I got two more. There's a description of learning. Verse 1, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness. The other school of thought. Some say, well, I don't believe that they can look down on us. Don't matter to me what you think. All I know is this. We find in chapter number 11, there's a witness to encourage us. They all made it by faith. And you know how we're going to make it? By faith. And thank God we can make it by faith. And this is what we ought to try to understand. We are never divided over doctrine. Listen, Baptist churches, very few have ever been split over doctrine. It's differences. Help me now. And there'll never be a difference that will arise if we won't take this Bible and sort it out. And so, everybody's got opinions. We need to leave them alone and stay with doctrine and keep our eyes on Jesus and plow us a straight road right on into glory. Boy, when I get there, I don't want to think that I went halfway and let go of it and turned loose of it. Thank God I want to keep my eye on the mark, looking unto Jesus. Matter of fact, don't even be looking unto me. I know I'm acquired to be at a higher standard. I accept that. I do. I accept full responsibility for that. No questions asked. But I'm going to tell you what, my children don't. My family don't. I'm held to a higher responsibility. I'm the under-shepherd. I'm the pastor. But let me tell you something, friend. Don't keep your eyes on me. You keep them on Jesus. I'll let you down. I'll say something offends you. I got a temper. I got a bad temper. I got a bloodline that goes all the way back to that old bad tree. But you listen to me tonight. I'll say it again. Just because there's a liquor store downtown don't mean that's... I'm not going to blame that on me being a drunk. And just because they got lottery, I'm not going to blame it on convenience stores because I'm hooked on gambling. I'm not a robot. And so I got to keep myself pure, looking unto Jesus. Now, he says these witnesses of faith, they ought to encourage you to go. He says there's a witness to encourage, but there are witnesses not only to encourage us, but to ensure us. Look, if you would, in verse number 13 of chapter number 11. These all died in faith. You know why they died in faith? They started in faith. Do you really believe once saved, always saved? More probably than most of you believe. I done found this out. When I've let go of Him, He's never let go of me. Story has it, and it's a true story, there's a seal been put on me. And that stamp is the earnest money, which is the Holy Spirit of God. And anybody here that's saved, the Bible said we're sealed until the day that you mess up. Oh, that would be goofy, wouldn't it? I mean, I wouldn't make it to my car. Till you have a bad thought. How pitiful that'd be. How could anybody worship not knowing if they're saved or not? Man, I tell you what, I'm going to get back just to basic Bible preaching. We ought to be the happiest people in this world, throwing our hands to Jesus, say, thank you, Lord, for saving. Has it ever dawned on you He saved you out of hell? And you that's never been saved by the grace of God, I wish it would dawn on you soon before it gets too late that you're going to die and go to hell without Jesus. Not joining a church, not being baptized, not being good, but by grace through faith, accepting what He's done for you on a cross and having faith to believe in His Son. They all started in faith, and guess what? They all died in faith. And so we find there's a witness to encourage, a witness to ensure us. And then in verse number 14, for they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country, there's a witness to enlighten us. I'm glad there's a better country coming. Now, plowing straight, keeping your row straight, looking unto Jesus, there's a description of learning. You'll notice in chapter 12, verse 1, we're compassed with so great a cloud of witnesses. Many's went on before us. I'm glad I've met some in this church. They're not printed in this Bible, but I believe that they are in the hall of fame of faith and glory tonight. And so there's a description of learning. Number two, there's a declaration of letting. Look in verse number 1. He says, a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Declaration of letting. Now that lets me know this. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. He's not talking about the world. He's talking about His children. Now, there's a declaration of letting. Watch, if you would, that opportunity of letting. We have an option. Let us. Okay, let us do what? Let us lay aside every weight. Anybody that's running to the goal line, anybody that's running in a marathon race, you can't run with weights on you. I seen some of y'all will laugh at me, but just leave me alone. I got about 15 more minutes, 16, 17, or 18. I'll be done. They got a new series called Mountain Men. And I know, you know, we're not to watch TV or nothing, but I am in charge of the remote control. That's one of them, let us change the channel if it ain't right. Amen. Y'all help me now. Let us change the channel if it ain't right. There are some good things we can see. That's sort of like Facebook. You ever see on Facebook you want to throw a dart at somebody? Let us not throw darts. Let us put our face in the book instead of so much time on Facebook. Let us. Options. There's a new show out called Mountain Men. And this boy was up there in the high country in the wilderness, and it had snowed, and he had on snowshoes. He rode a snowmobile out there, and the thing broke. He hiked some 8 to 10 miles with a 70-pound motor on his back and all that snow to go out there and fix that snowmobile to get back. And I got to think, can you imagine a man walking 8 or 10 miles with 70 pounds on his back? You know, that's the way a lot of us are. We carry way too many weights. That's keeping us from running this race. And let me tell you something. This isn't a sprint. This is just not running from here to the car and back. This is for the long haul. So you better pace yourself. And you better get this book. You better get stabilized and keep your eyes on Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. Now, what are you saying? Let us. We don't have to carry these weights around that's on us. We have a option. Not only the opportunity, but we have an option. Look in Romans 6 and verse number 12. This is a great Bible doctrine. Romans 6 and verse number 12. He says in verse number 11, likewise reckon or calculate or conclude also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Here's that word, let not sin therefore reign or be king in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. When that ant starts, mind him. God knows what you need and what you don't need. And when you start grieving the Holy Spirit of God in you with what you're doing, that's warning bell saying you're going to get in trouble with that. So let not sin. Now let me tell you something. We can put all the blame that we want to, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Don't blame it on the devil made me do it. I can't blame the devil about nothing. He tempted me. It's up to me whether if I yielded to the temptation. God's telling me there's a power in me that I can yield to God and keep me out of trouble, or I can yield to this flesh and get so far away from God that it would scare myself. Now tonight there's an opportunity of letting. There's an option of letting. Let not. But there's the opposition of letting. It's called sin. Sin is fun, but it's for a season. I would be a liar to tell you that sin wasn't fun, because it is fun. But it's just a little while. Then the wages of sin is death. And there's always a payday coming someday if you're fooling with sin. And so, you know, the old saying, like, I want to stay among God's people, because it's sort of like a banana. When it gets pulled from the stalk, from the bunch, before long it gets peeled. And I don't want to be no peeled nanner. I want to stay with the bunch. There's security in the bunch. Thank God we can encourage each other tonight. Now there's an opportunity of letting, an option of letting, but there's the opposition of letting. Look what it says. The sin, and underline this, which doeth so easily beset us. Isn't it so easy to be filled with God on Sunday and Monday night? Man, you just like you ain't been to church. That's why we've got to get in this book daily. That's why we've got to get back to the battery charger and on our knees of praying. So there's a description of learning. Now, here you'll find out there are a declaration of letting. There are weights that encumber us. He's talking about anything that hinders your attention or time from the Lord Jesus. Listen, there's nobody here that loves to play golf or hunt or fish better than I do. I'm not preaching against vacation. Everybody needs some time. But I got to be careful that my hobbies don't become weights that keep me from running toward the mark. And if you're not careful, you'll get your priorities all out of balance. And you will be so weighted down you can't run in this race. And so, certainly, God sends you a preacher to remind you of that, and then you want to get upset. And there's some probably not back tonight because they think I'm singling them out. Well, when I start looking at everybody, what I'm going to preach for long, I ain't got nothing to preach. And so what I'm going to do, I'm just going to preach what the Lord gives me and just shoot a scatter gun, and where it hits, it just hits. That's all I know. I tell you this, I wish the Lord in heaven, Brother Allen, I was raised, and I'm not crowing on a fence. Lord knows. I wish I could have been raised in a church where a man was preaching out of a King James Bible, filled with the Holy Ghost, preaching to me. I'd have a lot less scars on me than what I got tonight. Now, there's a description of learning. There's a declaration of letting. The weights that encumber us, the sins that entangle us. Look, which do so easily beset us. Watch that computer. It'll get you in trouble in a hurry. You young kids, you know the best thing to do when somebody offers you a drink? Refuse it. Because sin tips the scales in its favor when you start messing with it. Sin is addictive, isn't it? I can remember the first pot I smoked. It was in a above a dairy barn in the feed room. And little be known to me, that was at some 15 years ago. I had no idea that I would get addicted to that mess. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the sin that does so easily beset us, that knocks us to the side, that knocks us back. We got to watch fooling around with sin. Sin is still sin. I know a lot of churches has backed off preaching on it. Because this is what happens. I want you to know this is what happens. When you start building buildings like what we've got, and you start getting your bills up to where they're just out of sight, this is what the devil will tell you on that Sunday morning crowd. Now, if you preach on sin, ain't none of them coming back and it's going to fold. But see, I got an issue with that. I've got something a lot better than that in my pocket. God showed me to do what we've done. And I'm not telling you that things don't bother me, but I have learned this. This is His church. And this is His. It ain't mine. And so He'll take care of His church. And we can't back off sin, because sin will get us in trouble, and sin will get your young'uns in trouble, and sin will get your grandbabies in trouble. So we've got to preach on these weights of sin that do us so easily. Look, not beset a few that besets us. We're all vulnerable. Nobody's bulletproof. We've got to watch what we do, and we've got to watch where we go. If my temptation is liquor, the last thing I need to do is hang around with somebody that's drinking. We've got to watch these temptations of the flesh and realize we're human. And so there's the declaration of letting. But lastly, not only a description of learning and a declaration of letting, but look at the direction of looking. Verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, if He's telling us that, what would be the abstractions of looking? What would keep me from looking at Him? If He's telling me to look unto Jesus, then that lets me know there may be something hanging around me that keep me from looking at Him. Well, I found this out. They are some abstractions of looking. First of all, problems. Matthew 14. Peter got his eyes off Jesus. What'd he do? He sank. Boy, the devil loves for you to look at your problem. He'll defeat you on him. I had no use whining, but I mean, I'm just telling you what it is. I had one of the worst days I've ever had about a week ago in a long time. And this is the thing about it. When you have a problem, the devil will be sure to come by and kick you another good time to be sure you're down. And I've noticed problems keep me from looking unto Jesus. I mean, they do, and we all have some problems that's going to arise. If you don't have none tonight, they will be at your house before long. But we've got to remember that there are some things that can keep us. There are some abstractions of looking, and that is problems. Don't get your eyes on your problems. That's where depression comes from. I know things are tough, things are tight for everybody. And let me tell you, this world's not getting any better. But some things that abstract me from looking unto Jesus is my problem. The devil loves for me to wake up. Have you ever woke up and said, oh no, I woke up? Three of you have. And you know, all we do is just look at our problem. And it keeps me from doing this because I'm doing this. Can I encourage you as your preacher tonight? And Ken Bowman, would you listen to your preaching? Look unto Jesus. Our problems. Matter of fact, if we start looking around us, really, we ain't got as many problems as the devil's telling us we got. Because you don't have to look far to see people with some big problems. Out there in the camp meeting, a lot of y'all think you got problems with your children. The Watts family, little Logan was there, had on his little plastic helmet. There he got up and he sung a song, "He's Still Working on Me." And you know, you think we have a hard time until you see other people raising children that's really got a hard time. And so let's don't keep our eyes on our problems. The devil would love for you, just all you do is just see how little money you've got. And I can just go on and on, but don't look at problems, look at Jesus. And then number two, I've noticed another thing that'll keep us from looking. Talking about the abstractions of looking. Not only problems, but pleasures. Well, pleasures keep a lot of people from looking unto Jesus. Lots of pleasures. Look in Luke 8, verse number 14. Pleasures. Man, we are in a pleasure-filled society. We're in a new culture. We're in a country that is so blessed, people don't think they need God no more. Now, the generation that's gone on before us, that's in these graveyards, they had to rely on God for their crops to come up. They had to rely on God for their well not to go dry. And so they was a lot closer people serving the Lord than our generation. We're in a culture, and you know, it is what it is. I've asked every pastor that I preach for. They all experience what I experience. And don't get me wrong. I'm glad God's doing something here on Sunday morning. I'm glad He's doing something here on Wednesday night. But for the life of me, I don't understand why people just don't want to serve God and be faithful. And I'm not chewing you out. I'm just saying we in a culture of a pleasure-driven society. God blesses us and we're so busy. We buy a new boat and the only day we can use it is on Sunday. And God's been so good to us, you know. Everything is now, it's piled in on Sunday. But that's the Lord's day. That's the Lord's day. That's the day that we've got to honor Him. That's the day we've got to be set aside and let that day be the standard post in the middle of our house. That's the Lord's day. It's got to be respected. And it's got to be seen about. And so we find here in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 8, and we see there in the reading of verse number 14, "And they which fell among thorns, or they which they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection." My heart is so encouraged when I see somebody come to our church for the first time that I know that's out of church, and I'm just sitting there praying, "Dear God, please put something in them today." Church, that's what we ought to be doing. When we see people coming in, we know that's unchurched. We ought to be praying in our pew, "Dear God, let our preacher say something that will..." Would you just say something through our preacher today that would really affect them? But you know something? Pleasures come around and they choke that word out. Pleasures. And matter of fact, a lot of you would have a lot of pleasure coming to church if you'd get right with God. I don't like coming to church, neither was sin in my life. Church would become a pleasure to you if you would get in on the service. Get back to where some of you used to be and rejoicing in the goodness of the Lord. He's been good to us, church. God's not done you wrong. God's not done me wrong. What a favor he's allowed us to pull out here on this paper. I wish y'all could just go. I wish I could put all of y'all in my back pocket and go with me about 2 months and break y'all out in some places and let you really realize what you've got in the Lord at Liberty Baptist Church. God's been good to you. Look at your little old young'uns, how they're growing and doing things. Look, your marriages has got to be better if you're faithful in God's house and doing what this book says. I can preach everything known under the stars of heaven, but if you don't apply it, it ain't going to help you. What keeps me from looking at Him? Pleasures. You know, I have to really discipline myself now that I'm a full-time pastor in my study. I really do. I've got to discipline myself. The Bible says, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Did you know the longer that I pastor here, the harder it is to preach? I've got to dig and dig and dig and dig to keep something that's fresh. And it's okay to preach sermons over and over. We sing songs over and over. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But listen, pleasures is one of my problems. Because we all love to do things we like to do. Pleasures. I love to play golf. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't have to miss about 4 Sunday nights, and I can tell you where I'd be every Sunday night. I know I'm the only one that's got that problem. But I do got that problem, and I acknowledge that problem. That's why when I see the wheel wobbling on the axle, I got to stop and tighten it up. Pleasures. And then the third thing, closing, is people. People keeps me from looking unto the Lord. Look in John chapter number 6 now, and I'll be closing tonight. John chapter number 6. People keep me from looking unto Jesus. Now here, Jesus has a great company. He has a huge assembly together. We pick it up in verse number 60 of John 6. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" Well, what has he said? He's told them he's the bread of life. He's preaching to them. And so when Jesus knew himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before?" In other words, he said, "What y'all going to do about when I go back to where I started from?" It's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. Amen. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And there are some of you that believe not. Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." Verse 66, "From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And Jesus said unto the 12, Will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." If you're not careful, people will affect you walking away. If you're not careful, people on your job will keep you from looking unto Jesus. If you're not careful, people in the grocery store will keep you from looking unto Jesus. Now watch this. Jesus did not go after that crowd. He turned around, looked at his disciples, and he said, "Y'all going too?" Be careful. Don't let people influence you. It always gets me real nervous, you know, when I'm out preaching. I've had a thought, and I believe in it. We ought to shift around where we sit sometimes. Because watch this now. Brother Troy and Brother Chuck and Brother Logger is all sitting together Sunday after Sunday. And let's say Brother Chuck, Lord forbid, he's one of the best friends of God. He said, "Preacher, I don't like you no more." And he said, "Brother Troy, I don't like a preacher no more." Brother Troy turns back and says, "Hey, Logger, we don't like a preacher no more." So now all of a sudden, 3 pews blow out. Man, they look at me like, "We're glad you ain't our preacher." Don't let people affect you. Put your eyes on Jesus. Put your eyes on Jesus. Don't let people out there on your job affect you and get you away from Jesus. Looking unto Jesus. And let me tell you, mingle around and get to know other church folks. The last thing we need is this little pew club and this little pew club. Amen. Now, we all got differences, and we can sort that out. We all right on doctrine. Just don't let differences get you. Because the devil would love for differences to be so big that he'd get you. Am I preaching tonight? Looking unto Jesus. You know why? Because He'll never fail you. He'll never leave you. And He is the pattern for us to go toward. I'm glad I'm in a good Bible preaching church tonight. I mean, I'm just glad I'm saved. And this is what I want to do. I don't want to look at none of y'all's faces because I'm supposed to dismiss and go home and eat me some pizza. And I've got some appetite tonight. And I don't want to look at nobody looking cross-eyed at me thinking, well, you know, we ain't coming back. That bothers a preacher. I love what Brother David said this morning. You're going to get cut down here if you mess with our preacher. I like that. I like that. I like people totes case pocket knives. All right, let's dismiss before we get in a brawl. Stand with us.